Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for the wonderful time that you've got us all in. Father, I ask and I pray that you help us to get rid of all this flesh that's accumulated over the years. And Lord, I know there's some been shed off, but boy, there sure has to be a lot more to go. And we praise you and we thank you for doing that, Lord, because we know that it's you that does it. And we just do what you ask us to do. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the faith that you've given us to believe that the things that we do is going to be utilized to bring about this new revival coming. And Father, we praise you and we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful sisters and brothers that are going to come to the outreach tonight. And Lord, let it be an awesome time with the fire of the Holy Ghost evident in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? I got one. Lord, what I wanted to do, Lord, is just thank you and praise you for bringing down all of these deep state Iranian leaders to where the people themselves would be able to govern themselves again. And I praise you, excuse me, and thank you, Lord, for doing that in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask and I pray that, or I thank you again for bringing the deep state people in this country down also, Lord, that once again, the people will be freed up from all the taxation and all this garbage that's going on. And thank you, Lord, for placing it in Trump to do these things. And Lord, we're looking for a great happening. This coming weekend with President Trump and his announcements. And we thank you for your protection upon him and his administration and his family and the people that are working with him also. And thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I thank you for doing that. And Lord, we thank you for more visions and words of knowledge from you about the days ahead, and it looks like there's going to be a lot of shaking going on here shortly. We thank you for getting us ready for it, Lord, that our faith would be such that we would have faith for anybody that needs it. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for each and every one of us, Lord. Our faith will help a lot of folks in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for getting everybody here that you want here, Lord, in a time span that there would be no problems in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, anybody else? Lord, I thank you for that, getting that bill passed by the Supreme Court that gives Trump the right that he already had, but they wouldn't give it to him. The right to fire anybody in his administration that wasn't doing the work that he requested of him. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Father, thank you for your sovereignty over all that's happening and that there is a plan and purpose in all of it, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us and here in our prayers. Our supplications for your people, for the your elect among those who are lost and deceived and walking and listening just to people that are the false prophets and teachers. They're in apostate systems, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for bringing light there, God, that they can see where they are, that there's going to be a huge, huge move of repentance as your spirit's poured out when the truth comes and these judgments on these leaders are made manifest as well. It's not just the government. It's not just what's happening in this country with the things that are going to be manifest, but the false leadership and these false prophets, Lord, that they're going to be exposed. I thank you, Lord, for working in their hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you're already working, that You heard our prayers, Lord, to bring people into their lives that will speak truth to them. And they may not understand it yet, but they'll be able to put two and two together later if they don't get it right now. Thank you, Lord, for bringing separation in people's lives that are needed, Lord, with their walking and with somebody who's not according to your will for them, Lord, that you'll bring separations there. And then any kind of relationship that may be, whether it's in work, whether it's be in personal relationships and families or dating people or just associating people that are not good for them. And I also ask God, and I thank you, Lord, that you're moving people out of harm's way where these judgments are coming, so they will be in a place of refuge if that's where they're to go. And I know there are some that are just, they're going to have to go through some hard times, that they're going to have to go through some suffering, and they're going to have to be in places of lack before they'll turn to you. And I thank you for that, Lord, that you're sovereign over that, and that you are working in their lives and you're working in their hearts. And thank you, Lord, for your provision for the things that are coming, Lord, these hard times. But your word says the righteous will not suffer lack or be in want, Lord, and that you're always going to be provided for, and you're always going to make a way for your people. And we thank you, Lord, for faith for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are running for this high calling, Lord, that our faith is bold in you, and that we just keep putting the word in our hearts. We keep listening to Bible studies and listening to your word and reading the material, Lord, that we have such an awesome books and audios and videos, Lord, that we can go to for any of our sources, Lord, to edify ourselves. And I thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues that we can edify ourselves and praying in the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you will help us to do that more and more, more and more, and that we are not distracted from doing the things that you want us doing and seeking your face and praying and interceding and resting from our own works, that we are careful about that too, Lord, and not fall under any kind of condemnation as and listening to the lies of the enemy who assaults us with all kinds of things to get us distracted from the truth. And I thank you, Lord, that we are using the armor and knowing how to use the armor, knowing how to discern our thoughts and being careful about everything and just resting in you because you love us. You are perfecting us in love, and that there is no room for fear in our hearts. We don't have the wrong kind of fear of the Lord. We have a real true relationship with our Father that has driven out all the lies of fear and being punished and being judged for something, because that's not how you see us. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that in all my brethren, Lord, who suffer maybe from any kind of rejection or unworthiness or whatever lie the enemy is trying to convince us otherwise of. And I thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have, for so great a salvation we have in Christ Jesus, that we don't live anymore. It really is Christ who's living in us, and you're doing this work. You're doing this work, and you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I ask you, God, just to keep us rooted and grounded in the truth and in faith and focused and just believing everything you say about us, Lord, and speaking it in agreement with you so you can manifest it. And we bless your name. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us. We certainly do not deserve it. And I thank you, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us all things in Christ Jesus. And you're gonna move. It's time for you to move. It's time for you to do great things, God. And we're watching and we're waiting and we're expecting. And we're gonna see you do great, marvelous things, Lord. In Jesus' name, I praise you. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. A while ago, I was looking at the news, and they had a thing on the way Muslims are acting in the United States after they get here, and how, what's the word I can use? The entitled they think they are when they're here. And they showed a few clips of, people in Texas and how they started talking back to the Muslims and kicking them out of their stores, and because they're getting really vocal. The Arabic Islam people, they seem to think that they're entitled once they get over here, and it's just a horrendous group. They're actually anti-Christ, and if any of you listen to that thing I put on the chat, you'll understand that this is not a religion. This is a Muhammad never was, as if you watched that thing, and as a matter of fact, he couldn't have been born in Mecca when they said, because Mecca didn't even exist when they said he was born. And it's just a lot of fabrication, just like a lot of these false religions are. It's really interesting. If you haven't seen it, it's in the UBM fellowship chat. And I suggest everybody re listen to it, because it's good, in the Signal chat. All right. Thank you, Lord, for getting that bunch out of here, getting them all out of here. I see where the Supreme Court said that Trump could throw out all the Haitians if he wanted to. And he does. So they're fixing to go back to Haiti. I'm going to call it Haiti. It just sounds. All right. But Lord, I thank you for the ones. I just saw a clip a while ago about a Saudi Arabian prince lived in a great big mansion with his dad and all of that. And he had just got married to a beautiful lady, and his dad came to him after he'd been married for a little bit and wanted to have his wife. His dad wanted to have his wife, and he said, "That ain't gonna happen." Got his stuff and moved out, became a Christian because of it. And he said, "God is so much more loving than this Muhammad guy, you know." And that's just this religion called Islam is a pedophile's dream. It's abusive of women. It's abusive of kids. It's abusive of people who don't think like they do or don't want to think like they do. And it's a hateful religion. I don't care what how anybody tries to spin it, that's what it is. The guy that was narrating that Texas thing, he said, "There's been this many people killed by these people, it just in the time that they've been here, and he went through, and there was hundreds of them that the Islamics, Muslims have killed since they've been here. Their own people." And Americans, it's just horrendous. And I'm sure you got the same thing up there in Canada, Ben and Andrew. But anyway, Lord, I just thank you for getting this religion out of here, getting it out of here, getting it out of Canada, getting it out of the UK, getting it out of everywhere. Send them back to the desert, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. If they want to get over there and kill everybody, they may be killing their own people. And Lord, we thank you for it. That's what happened in, well, I'm tired. I'm going to get off the soapbox. Anyway, Lord, I thank you for taking care of them, getting them out of here. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that we don't have that problem right here, right now, in this area. I thank you for it, Father. I think it's because of the Redneck Army, maybe. Oh me. All right. Anybody got anything they want to pray about again? Hey, Debbie. Barbara, Joe,
Hello,
Andrew,
everybody.
and Benjamin.
Pleasure.
Amen. Pig slop. Is that what you always say? No, it's not pig slop, it's something else. I forget. Okay, I better hush. All right, I got a good song that I'd like to share, if y'all don't mind. It's a good one too.
Holy Spirit, send
All right, go ahead, Anna. I'm sorry, I was trying to get something. Go ahead.
Sorry, I wanted to share a testimony.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had a dream Sunday night. Okay, so first let me back up. In real life, we have a little kiddie pool, splash pool in the backyard. It's only about maybe 12 inches deep, but it doesn't actually get that full of water, obviously, because it splashes out and it's like slightly tilted. So maybe six, maybe 8 to 10 inches of water in there. And Sunday night, I had this dream, and I woke myself up by starting to sit up in bed and yelling. And in the dream, LaKayla had gone to the edge of the pool. I was like in the very back of the yard facing toward the pool. And she had gone to the very edge of the pool and was reaching down with both hands to pick up something outside the pool. And she lost her balance and her head fell in. But because her arms were still outside the pool, like she was, you know, I knew she was going to like not be able to get herself up. You know, she's going to be like high centered on her hips on the little rounded hard plastic side. And so in the dream, I was like, hey, you know, yelling at someone, whoever was closest, grab her, because I wasn't close enough. And I started to like force myself forward, like I was going to run for her, but I was sleeping. So I started to sit up and I started to yell and I woke myself up. And I was like, okay, that's crazy. And so, of course, I prayed over her, you know, any attacks against her, you know, that she'd always be safe in the water, et cetera, et cetera. And that day we were out there at the pool and she was in the pool with the boys and Shoshana was at nap. And, no. Okay, just wait right there. Hang on. And,
Clippers.
Yes, be quiet, please. I'm sorry, that's Shoshana. And, she was in there and I was sitting next to the pool, cracking pecans, listening to a Bible study. And I started to get sunburned after a while and too hot. So I pull my chair back farther into the backyard to get under the shade of the tree. And Kayla's just in there with the boys and it's not a problem. She's been in there a bunch of times. And we have a little tiny slide that goes down in there. She slid down it many times. Well, she slid down the slide and just goes completely under on her back. And I was just like, ah, and I like throw the pecans, throw my phone with the Bible study. And I'm like lunging just like in the dream. And I was like, Obi, grab her. And Obi was just facing away. He didn't see it happen. And, oh, he says he did, but I don't think he did. Anyways, be quiet, Shoshana. I'm sorry. And she surfaces, barely goes right back under, and I'm just like, it's like almost like slow motion, and I'm like, grab her, and I'm running over there. He gets her up, and I don't know how many seconds she was under there, but you know, she kind of bobbed up and down, couldn't get herself. Shoshana, be quiet and wait. And I told, and I was like, I don't know, you know, think, and I was no, I don't know, I was just like, thank you, Lord. She did not take in any water, you know. We pull her up, she's screaming, of course. And then she was grabbing her nose like it was burning, but she was not coughing. She didn't cough up any water. She recovered so quick. I was like, wow, thank you, Shauna. Be quiet. Oh, Lord, help me. yeah, and so then she was burping a bunch. So she must have just been swallowing instead of breathing. So I was just like, wow, like the Lord warned me. I prayed, like, yes, that could have been like the most horrible day of my life. But instead, it was just a normal day. Just pray over her and she's fine. And she popped right back in the pool. She wasn't afraid. So Thank you, Lord. Yes, she is,
Amen.
Julie. I'll be back.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Making us aware of the things before they ever happen. That's awesome. Okay. What more? She took off, didn't she? Hey, Debbie, did you get my text?
Oh, I guess I didn't see a text. Nope, sorry. I was busy earlier, just before I got on. Oh, 3 minutes ago. Okay. Sure. Well,
Okay.
can you do it?
Well, I don't have your
Oh, I'll do it.
Edited version.
Oh, yeah, I'll do it then. Excuse me.
Just tell them what it is.
1 second, get up here, hit it. Okay. You want me to read it now? Right now? You all set for me? Okay. This is the word the Lord gave me during our prayer meeting last night. Kind of intimately throughout it. Actually, in one portion of it, though, but throughout that portion where certain things we're praying for. And I was getting pretty good, really good prayers and warfare and stuff. And anyways, it's called, This is the Time of the End. I heard the Lord say, I heard the Lord say a couple times, I already told you that, just now, okay. This is the time of the end. Many things that you are praying for are going to continue. Nothing is going to stop. There will be some things overcome due to the prayers and warfare of my people. There will be things moved out of the way, but there's always going to be something else. There will be no world peace. Wars inside and wars without will not cease. This is the time of the end. But I say, take heart, because I will be with my people who'll be busy doing my works in the midst of everything going on around them. And they will not stop and they will not fear, because they will know that they are being led and they are being used by me in bringing my salvation to the earth in the midst of everything, until their work of the gospel and spiritual wars waged are through. Amen. Thank you, Lord. As soon as I said, amen, come, Lord Jesus, come. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for all of these words that you give us to encourage us and to keep us going, Lord. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that word too, Lord. It's an awesome word. It's an encouraging word. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got something they'd like to share? Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to share a dream I had the other night. Basically, the cut and I'll give you the cut and dry of it. I asked the Lord before I went to bed to give me a dream of things that the Lord had for Merle and I before I went to before I went to sleep. I asked the Lord that, and I had been asking him about things concerning the house I'm believing the Lord's gonna give us down in Tennessee. And I was, you know, asking him if I should say anything to Merle about it. I know I've said things to him, you know, that the Lord's gonna supply houses for people and stuff like that, but I never said anything specifically about us. So anyway, I had this dream where, and some of it's kind of sketchy, but these are the things that I definitely remember. Like in the dream, Merle and I were in a street, and there was a crowd of people around, and they were rowdy. I don't know if they were like protesting or whatever. That wasn't like real clear, but I just kind of knew they were rowdy. And so they walked away, and here I see this car, and it was like a, I don't know, would you describe it? A grayish, silverish, bluish color. And I kind of looked a little sporty, and I knew it was like Merle's or our car or whatever, and this thing came out, and like where you would put, and this was my thought at first, like where you would put gas. It was like it was fueling itself. There's this thing that came out and put in where the where I would think you put gas in, you know. But I think that basically what that was is it was just I believe it was an electric car, just because of later in the dream or whatever. It was like basically self-sufficient, you know. I think it was basically, you know, for lack of a better word, charging itself or fueling itself or whatever. It didn't need any outside, you know, anything from outside. Anyway, so then we were going down the road. Merle was driving, and he says, "You hear that? Listen." He says it doesn't sound like a normal car. And I knew what he meant by that. He was it was an electric car, because, you know, electric cars don't sound the same, you know. Anyway, so then later, in another part in the you know, next part in the dream that I remember was we were in this house with this family that used to meet that I used to meet with when Alan's and Alan Sue Gilbert's house, Sue Gilbert, if you remember her, when her husband was living, and I lived back in eastern part of Pennsylvania, Hanover area, and they were in New Oxford. But anyway, so there was this family. They ended up having his, I think, like 8 kids or whatever, even after they moved to Cleveland, in Ohio. And it was just Rick, the dad, and the kids, but the kids were little then, and all the kids are grown now. I'm sure that the youngest is over 18 now, which is mind-blowing. But anyway, and Merle was, I mean, part I remember he was talking to him, telling him about this car or whatever. And then I was saying to him, telling him about the house too. And he says, "I will when I'm done telling him about the car." And that's all I remember. But it was real encouraging, because I'd asked the Lord, you know, for something, you know, about our future or whatever, you know, things to come or whatever. So, and that was just, you know, the house thing was something in particular I was kind of asking the Lord about, if I should say anything to him about it. But anyway, so that was like really encouraging. I was just like, wow, when I got up then or whatever, and I was thinking about it, I'm like, the Lord reminded me, you asked me for a dream. And he gave me one. So it was kind of sketchy, but the gist of it, I, you know, so it was pretty interesting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all my brothers and sisters, showing them the things that you have ahead for them. And I knew, and like this dream, I believe this family, the wife wasn't there for some reason. I don't know what that meant. I was thinking she was off doing something like with sisters or something, or I don't know. But I thought, why wasn't she there? I think that may be symbolic. But I think the family in general is symbolic by of the apostates having immature fruit, because all their kids were small again, you know. And I think in general, just going to minister to those that we know, and telling them of the things that the Lord has done, and but just, you know, my God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory, you know. And ministering the truth of God's word to them. But anyway, so that was really encouraging. Thank you, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, for doing that for all my brothers and sisters, giving them dreams of things to come for them, Lord, and encouraging them. Lord, I think we're about ready to bust through that into a new time of that we've never seen, nothing like we've ever seen before, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for that, for pouring out your spirit and bringing great revival, Lord, anointing your man child and preaching the gospel and bringing the revival and you coming us, getting us, and getting us off this mud ball after you're done saving all your elect, Lord, in these last 7 years, Lord, and just praise you and thank you, Lord. Hope not, I pray that none of us would be apprehensive or fearful or whatsoever, Lord, about things to come or insecure or not knowing, Lord. Lord, from what David tells us, we're not going to know ourselves. Where you just believe for the Lord to be where He needs you to be and what He's called us to be, and you're awesome, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the restoration. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, is there anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Benita.
Hi, everyone.
How do you do?
Good. Good. How are you guys? Missed you guys last week. We're just kind of crazy around here, so. But I had a praise report. I was working at that nursery, that pop-up nursery, and I told you I had given that Sovereign God book to Grandpa Pete, and so he hadn't been coming around much. He's been busy with his grandkids and stuff, but he stopped by on my last day of work. He didn't even know it was my last day, but Sunday was my last day, and he stopped by, and it was so good to see him. And he was like so excited. He's like, "That book was amazing. That I read through that. That was so good. It's like it just sets you straight, doesn't it?" So we chatted for a while. It was just exciting to, he talk, give things to people, and you don't hear anything or you don't get the right reaction, but he just got it. He just could see it. And it's like, okay. I meant to tell him, I was like, not everybody gets this. So you're very blessed to have gotten and understood what you understood, because not everybody does. But it was just exciting. And he was really happy. He's been reading his Bible and reading that book. And just, I don't know if he's gone out to the site yet or not to study more stuff, but he's just kind of new in the whole thing, so he's got a lot to learn about. He just like even simple stories he's not familiar with, so he's got a lot to learn. But anyways, he's on the right track, so praise the Lord. That was very exciting to get that reaction from him. So there's that. And then the other thing, if you guys could pray with me or agree with me, that so my daughter is in town right now, and she thought, well, she tried to get a summer job or something, just to keep things going. And so she called this aviation company, and come to find out, it's our very good friends from Alabama. It's their cousin that owns it. So they called them and put in a good word for her, and then she talked to them, and things went really well. So she's gone through two interviews now, and they're just really excited, and she's excited. So she hasn't got an official offer yet. So hopefully that'll come later this week, and then she'll have a job in the aviation field where she wanted to be. And so that's really exciting for her. I just not trying to get ahead of myself, but I'm sure it's going to work out. So praise the Lord for that. So keep her in your thoughts as we wait for the word.
Go ahead, Julie.
Vanita, is that you said that was your grandfather that you gave that book to?
It was the guy that I work for, Peter. It's his grand. It's his. There's three
Oh, okay. I
generations, so
misunderstood.
it's Grandpa Pete and Peter.
Oh my gosh, that's a little
Yeah.
confusing. Okay, so it's not your family, it's the family of the
No.
people who only have the nursery. Okay. Well, that's
Right.
awesome
And
testimony. Praise
yeah, and
God.
they're the family that I nannied for 2 years, and
Okay.
their grandpa was Rodriguez, who did a lot of he's a musician, so he did a lot of touring, so that's why I was nannying for him. So anyways, yeah, so
Okay.
that's the family that I've known for quite a while now, and so that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Bless him and anoint him to really, really take hold of it and run with it and seek more truth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise the
Yeah,
Lord.
and
And
fill
bring
them
the
with
whole
the Holy
family in.
Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah. And bring the whole family in. Praise God. Amen. And Lord,
Amen.
bless Angelique too, Lord, that she gets that job, if that's your will, that you've opened up this door for her. My gosh, this girl is so talented and has so many things she can do. And I just praise you, bless her, God, and keep her safe, Lord, in aviation and whatever role that is, if she's going to be flying, whatever she's going to be doing there.
She's
If that's
actually going to
her.
be doing IT. So,
Oh, okay.
kind of what
All
her
right.
degree was in, so that kind of works out well. So,
All
and
right.
the
Okay.
chief operating officer, they lived on their boat for 4 years and in a van for 2 years, so they had a lot of that in common. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
They're watching her YouTubes now and stuff like that. So,
Oh, she has a YouTube channel?
yeah, she started one just a couple months ago. She started one,
Oh,
so.
when she was down in Mexico?
Yeah, just right when she got, yeah, maybe, I don't, I'm trying to
Was she
remember.
still down there? Was
No,
she
she's
still down in
not.
Mexico?
Yeah, she might have been down there when she started it. So
Well,
yeah,
good
she's got a
for her.
couple of videos out
Good.
there now.
Praise God. Well, bless her and that too, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to also pray for my granddaughter. Michelle told me a few days ago that after starting this thing, this new shop that she's got, what are y'all doing with your ears? Was something wrong with your ears? Anyway, can you hear me okay? Can you hear me all right? Okay. Anyway, she told me that after starting this thing, this new shop that she's got, I think it's less than a year now. It's a bridal shop, and she now is the number one bridal shop in Arkansas. Yeah, she's done a great job, but I feel like she's not getting well. Let me just pray. Father, I thank you that this is not a distraction for her from you. And I ask and I pray, Father, that she spends more time with you than she does there. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's called Vogue Veil. Vogue Veil, VEIL. She's all over the internet. I think that's the reason why, because she's praying to God a lot of money to get her name out there. And now that she has, she's done quite well. But I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in her spiritual, more than I am interested in her doing that. But Lord, I thank you for slowing her down a little bit to come to you every day and thank you and praise you for the things that you've allowed her to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, go ahead, Julie.
I'd just like to add a little bit to that prayer.
Yeah, please.
Father, thank you, Lord, for Tiffany and her work and what you've allowed her to create and begin and her passion for it. And I thank you, Lord, that it's doing so well. And I ask, Lord, that you would bring more help in there for her, that she
Amen.
recognizes that the need that she needs dependable, reliable, help in that area, that she can release some of the responsibility onto somebody else, so that she does have that time, that you give her a hunger and a thirst for your word, and that she knows that she needs to be there with you, and that she's conscious of that, that she doesn't get so caught up in all this and forget her first love and all of these things that are most important at this time. So thank you, Lord, for intervening in this and her recognition, Lord, and her understanding that she needs to get the qualified help in there to relieve her from all the responsibility, because she has a family too, doesn't she, Michael? She has family. Yeah.
Yeah, she's
And
got a little boy.
So she needs to be spending time in being a mom and all these things that are important and need to come first, Lord, so that there's plenty of help out there who can who are very qualified and want to be part of her success, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, it's taken too much of her time. I'm pretty sure of that. She's a hard worker, but sometimes that's not an asset. Thank you, Lord, for bringing her back to you, who you would be the number one focus in her life, Lord. Amen. All right, anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray or got something you'd like to share? Yeah, Ben.
Just a bit of an update on Diego. He went back to the doctors, and it was an extreme recovery. And if you saw him from like 2 weeks ago now, he's like a thin, thin man. He's lost his belly. He's lost all of his neck fat here. He's eating a lot better. But praise God for getting the bad habit of eating sugar and eating bread and stop drinking all the soda pops. And his blood sugar levels, like I forget the number, but it's minuscule compared to what it was. So
Praise
praise
God.
God. And I praise God
Amen.
for keeping it up in him. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, daily transformation. That's good. Amen. All right, Missy.
I don't know how much.
Uh-oh, she got froze up with her mouth open. Oh my. Oh my. Lord, we thank you for a good internet connection for Missy. Missy, can you hear
Can you hear
us?
me?
You can now, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Yes.
I
Amen.
rebuke the
Yes, we
enemy.
can hear you.
You will not shut my mouth because what I have to say is important. And I wanted to know what I was going to say I don't know whoever all has listened to the video that Julie posted from Brandon about all the things we need to pray about. I thought it would be really great if we could pray about those things. I know Julie probably remembers. Maybe we could give a rundown or whatever of
I haven't heard it, so you'd have to do that.
Between Julie and I, maybe we can name them
It's
all.
a it's it's a short clip. I can play it if you want.
Yeah, that would probably
Okay.
be really good.
It's a short that he, you know, it's one of the shorts from a longer video. Let me get it ready, okay?
All right. While you're doing that, Missy, can we go ahead and get the word from last night from Debbie? Is that okay? Missy, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm not,
Michael, I
I didn't
emailed it to
understand.
you. I'm sorry. I emailed it to you, Michael.
I'm sorry. You want me to read it?
No, I sent it to you by email a little bit ago.
No, I know you did, but
Okay.
did you?
That's what I thought you
I'm
were
asking.
asking.
I was asking you, did you want to read it or did you want me to read it? I haven't understand what you want.
Oh yeah, I did read it already.
Okay, go ahead and read it.
I read it already.
Oh, you did?
You asked me to a little bit ago, and I read it.
Okay, I got too much on my mind. I'm
Then you were
sorry.
asking Missy something. I thought you were asking her about. I did anyway.
All right, thank you, Debbie.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for clearer thought.
I understand, Michael. Thank you, Lord, for clear thoughts. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Okay, go ahead. Missy, put a smile on your face.
Our 911 infrastructure in the days ahead. The Lord said they would attack our 911 infrastructure in the days ahead. As we were praying a couple of weeks ago, I saw some kind of SIM card scam to crowd and take down 911. If anybody remembers that, I said they will use it. And I saw AT&T, I saw cell phones that you would not be able to call your 911 and report an emergency. And I said, this will happen around the time frame of the 250th anniversary for a great distraction, a great plan of a Red Dawn experience to infiltrate hospitals. And I saw snipers on the top of roofs in with a big red cross on it. And it was about the time frame we were praying for the Boston Marathon. And I saw the red cross and I saw snipers on there as people were running in to these hospitals. They were shooting the emergency workers, firefighters and such, and in Miami, praying over this. As I saw them trying to get help, they couldn't get a hold of the 911 operators. Now, today, just in, 911 outages are being reported across several U.S. states, with officials urging residents to use alternative emergency numbers. This is a trial run. Do you understand? This is a trial run. This is a practice run for what I have seen. What I have seen comes before me all the time. A Red Dawn experience, not just in America, but in Hawaii and out of the States. I saw malls with Gucci and Louis Vuitton, nice stores in a rich area with three men that had pow-pows, AK-47s and such, with backpack things going into a mall. I have seen lots of things concerning this. Drones, praying for the soccer matches in America that are happening right now, the World Cup. Praying for the parades, praying for major gatherings. How many times have I said, we got to pray for parade? I see pray for parade. Pray for 250th anniversary. The Lord said they would attack our 911.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just come against that right now in the name of Jesus. We break that spirit that wants to knock out our 911 system right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your shield around every 911 in this country. Thank you, Father, that your angels are out there right now tracking down these people and turning them into the FBI or the CIA or whoever is involved. And we are the local police, and we praise you and we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus, in this country and all countries too, Lord. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask for your protection upon the people that are at these soccer games, the World Cups. And I thank you, Father, for your protection upon them, that no drone is going to hit them. No guy carrying bomb packs is going to hit them or anything like that, Father God. And I thank you that your angels are standing guard in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Anybody else want to? I know there's more. I just didn't get it all. Yeah, Missy.
You send forth the angels to watch over, protect the emergency workers, first responders. Yeah. And we send confusion into the camp of the enemy that's putting together these snipers on buildings. And we neutralize their guns, their weapons, and send forth the angels to give information about these snipers to the authorities that they can go and arrest them. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. And we send forth the angels to put protection around all the parades and festivities in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know we can't pray everything down, just like the word you gave Debbie. But Lord, we know, Lord, and we believe that you will protect your elect. And Lord, we ask you for your mercy, Lord. And we send forth the angels to break apart all plots and schemes of the deep state. We thank you, Lord, that for this ruling of the Supreme Court, that Trump can say, "You are fired." And we thank you, Lord, that he will begin firing people that will take away their ability to carry out any of these plots and schemes, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your safety upon all your elect, Lord, during all these festivities, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, to send forth angels in disguise, that people entertain angels unawares, Lord. You sovereignly arrange for people to not be where they shouldn't be, Lord, and we even have angels appear to them, even if it's unawares, Lord, and redirect them and snatch them, and that they dash not their foot against the stone, Lord. And thank you for protecting them, protecting all our family and all your elect, Lord, because all our family, our household salvation, Lord, and we believe for every one of them, Lord, and bringing them into the kingdom, and that they are your elect, Lord, because we're all praying and believing for them, and we thank you, Lord, and we just ask you, Lord, to put give wisdom to all your people to where not to be and where they should be, and during all this this time, Lord, and all these celebrations, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for being sovereign in all that you do, Lord. And we know, Lord, that some of these things can't be stopped because, Lord, you're using them, Lord. But we know that you're going to have every one of your elect, Lord, and not one is going to leave this earth, Lord, until you're done doing with them what you want to do with them, and that they're securely in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your protection on everything and everybody in this country during the July 4th celebrations, because, as you know, a lot of people get together just to watch the fireworks in their local area. And Father, I thank you that there's not going to be any happening in our area or any of the outreaches areas, Lord. Not at all. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Even all over the United States. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody in Canada too, excuse me. But y'all don't celebrate, do you?
It's Canada Day tomorrow.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, sometimes when you got friends across the border, they celebrate the July 1st and the July 4th. And there's intermarriage families too, so.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for our Canadian brothers. In Jesus' name, I just don't consider you Canadians because I know y'all coming down. In Jesus' name. All right, anyone else? I believe everybody on this outreach that wants to come down here and live down here is going to be down here. That's what I believe. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Did we cover everything that was in that video? Did we cover like the soccer, world soccer tournament thing?
Yeah.
Because there's, okay.
Covered that, covered the, you covered, I think it was you that covered the emergency workers.
That was Missy. No, that was Missy.
Missy.
Yeah. Well, Lord, I just pray that there's safety and protection on all these huge gatherings where people are going to be celebrating in the next days. I mean, people get together. It's a big weekend. It's a travel. All the travel. I pray their our infrastructures are protected. I pray also, Lord, that the oil refineries and the gas pipelines and all those things are protected from any nefarious activities that the enemy of the deep state has to cause any kind of destruction. In Jesus' name, I cast all that down. And I thank you, Lord, for making it a safe holiday. And this is a huge deal. And I don't know what you have planned with heart, what is in our president's plans and agendas for what he's going to be letting known in speeches this weekend, great things, no doubt. And I thank you, Lord, for what all that's going to be done, that there will not be an outcry and retaliation and rioting. I pray against all the anarchy and lawlessness and that kind of thing, and any plans of Antifa to destroy, to murder, to cause havoc. In Jesus' name, we forbid all that. And we pray a hedge of protection around all law enforcement, the ICE establishment, that they are able to do their jobs. And they have a new director. And I thank you, Lord, that you give him all grace and wisdom and boldness and confidence and the support he needs to be able to do his job. And that the people working under him have utmost respect for him and obey the commands and do their jobs, and that the angels are doing exceedingly abundantly what we ask, Lord, when we command them to remove these illegals and Islam and all these people out, that they are doing it. And we thank you, Lord, for the faith that is being done, and that they're getting cleaned up. And if they're not a legal citizen here, Lord, and they haven't gone through the proper channels to have a green card or to in the process of getting a citizenship, if they want that, they have to go. And I thank you, Lord, that the laws of this land are going to be upheld and enforced in all manner. And I thank you, Lord, for cleaning house, draining the swamp, and getting rid of big government and the way you have planned, and bringing back the republic and everything that the alliance and the white hats are doing. Bless and protect the military. God bless them. I thank you for them, Lord. I thank you that they're getting cleaned up too, Lord, because I know there's people there that shouldn't be. And I thank you that I know it's not going to be perfect, Father, but I thank you for what you're doing. We surely don't deserve it. And I thank you for doing great and mighty things for the people of this country to get the gospel out. It's about getting the gospel out. It's about building your church, building your temple again, restoring what the enemy has stolen, restoring the gold, the silver, and all the precious vessels that have been taken out of the temple, and all of that means, Lord, spiritually restoring your people to the truth. And I thank you, and bless the man child, bless the men you're raising up to be in this first fruits, Lord, that they have faith and they have rest and they have the knowledge that you are filling them with your word and your spirit, and they have all the abilities you're equipping them in with, the gifts and the leadership qualities and all that you're doing there, Lord. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anyone else? All right. Get you real good news out. Yeah, Missy.
I was just putting up my finger like, just a minute. I got to run and get it.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't, does anybody know what page we're on? I think I marked it. I have to look at it. Did we go to chapter 3?
Michael, I think I have 128, right? Anybody else?
Yeah, we're 138.
Oh, yeah, 138.
Bottom of 138.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. I got it marked. Too. I think I do. No, yeah. That's 163. You sure we're not on 162? Okay, 162. The middle of the page. Right? No?
No. Yeah. No. We're at 138, the bottom of the page.
Okay.
You might be in that chapter in another reading you're doing, but in here this is where we ended because that's where I have it marked at.
Okay.
That's where I think Debbie was finished speaking. And she was reading.
Yes, I just didn't see. It was kind of blurry to me. So that's why I marked it. That's why I had my check.
It's Christians and Demons is the chapter.
Yeah. 138 in the New Testament.
We would be starting where it says, but whom did Jesus choose to set free?
Okay. Oh, yeah, I got it marked. Okay.
Of course you do.
Yeah. All right. But who?
I'm sorry. Jesus... What page was that again?
138.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Let me get this microphone a little closer. But whom did Jesus choose to set free? It was only those who were covenant people, whether old covenant or new covenant. Jesus came in a time when he was leading people out of the old covenant into the new, and both were in effect. He had to come first to the Jews who were the covenant people at that time and offer them this benefit of the kingdom. And of course, when they rebuked him and renounced his words, when they turned away from him and his disciples, then the Jews were reprobated. When God offered this gift to the Gentiles, that's us, folks. What was the Jews' argument with what Jesus said? John 8:33, they answered unto him, we are Abraham's seed and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Well, there's a lot of people who believe that today, folks. They think because they're Christians, that they don't need to be set free. They think because they're Christians that they don't need any deliverance. But the truth will set you free, and a lie will keep you in bondage. Jesus understood this. But then those Jews said to Jesus in John 8:39, they answered and said unto him, our father is Abraham. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. In the New Testament, what causes you to be a child of someone is that you walk in their steps. In the New Testament, it's what the spiritual seed brings forth that counts and not the physical seed. So what is it to be a child of the kingdom? Let's look at 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. The only proof that you have that you are a child of someone in the New Testament is, do you walk as they walk? And of course, Jesus was pointing that out. If they were true children of Abraham, they'd do the works of Abraham. But instead, he said in John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil. Why? because they were walking in the devil's steps, right? And the lust of your father, it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and standeth not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father thereof. So in the New Testament genealogy, genealogy isn't reckoned according to the flesh, because the seed is passed on through the word and believe in the word. We give fertile ground to the seed when we believe and act on the word of God, which is the seed or the sperma of the kingdom in the parable of the sower. Has anybody got any questions or any comments? Okay, let's go on. Also, let me point this out to you, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, know therefore that they that are of faith, the same are sons of Abraham. You see, we inherit the benefits of the kingdom, just like that woman in Luke, because of our faith. We are walking in the steps of Abraham. Galatians 3 and verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. In thee shall all the nations be blessed. An elect group of all nations is abiding in their father Abraham. Galatians 3 and 29, and if ye are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. And Paul said in Galatians 4:28, now, we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Do you believe the promise? Then you're a child of Abraham and a child of God, and you have the benefits of the kingdom. You have the benefits of the covenant. And one of those benefits is that you have the right to be delivered of demons, and you have the right to cast out demons. Matthew 10 and 8, Mark 16 and 17. All believers can do that. There are people out there who specialize in this, but Mark just makes one condition, and that is to believe. These signs shall accompany them that believe. A baby Christian can cast out demons and should be doing it. It's been spoken unto us, so we should be doing it. Now, I'd like to go a little further with something we looked at last time, Matthew 12 and 38. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, teacher, we would see a sign from you. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall be no sign. There shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes. It was the Jews who were an evil and adulterous generation, and Jesus tried to warn them, Matthew 12 and 43. But the unclean spirit, where he has gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and findeth it not. Then he said, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goes he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. But even so shall it be also unto this evil generation.
Hey, Michael, I have a question. Just
ask me.
That scripture were about, an unclean spirit, when he's gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, and seeking rest it finds not. Now, this just comes up. It has come up in conversation I had with somebody one time. Now the covenant promises, like casting out demons, is for, you know, God's children, right? So, and Satan doesn't cast out Satan, right? So, but somebody asked this question, like, if a person's not saved yet, right? Like, it might be a family member, it might be somebody who you want to help them because they're and they're like maybe I don't know, really depressed or really, you know, going through a hard time, whatever, and you bind up the demons, or that you end up casting a demon out of that person. Now, I didn't know how to answer because I wasn't sure, but so if somebody did that and they cast out demons from a person who wasn't saved, does that can that house be then, you know, seven or more demons would come in, you know, because that person isn't saved? Because you can't cast demons out of somebody who's, I don't know, can you cast it? You can cast some demons out of people, Lord, if the Lord leads you to, and there's all kinds of stipulations, I guess. But does that verse apply to somebody who maybe is not saved? Like, that more demons would come back worse than first if you cast a demon out of, say, depression or something.
That's a very good question. And there is a way that we can answer that. And I want you to just bear with me a minute. I want somebody else to answer, if that's all right. I just kind of want to see how people's take is on this. Yeah, Joe.
Joe's got something.
What I was thinking is, if it's an unsaved person, if you cast that demon, if he's not replacing, if he's not thinking of becoming a Christian, I would fill his heart with a word and understand what the gospel is all about, it will be coming 7 times worse on him, because you have to fill it with a word. You have to fill that place that's empty now. You have to fill that place with a word. That's the only thing. That's what I was thinking.
I think I understood that. Yeah, that's an answer. Yeah, it is. That's a good answer. Go ahead, Julie.
I had an actual situation one time, and it was a homeless guy. And I kind of had conversations with this guy before. He seemed, you know, more or less harmless. He wasn't on drugs. He didn't do drugs. He didn't drink or anything like that. But I got to find out that part of the reason he, you know, how he ended up on the streets, and he was carrying bitterness and that kind of thing in his heart. He was angry at people. I think he was angry at, I know he was angry at his previous employers, because he went on, I could tell by his voice what he was saying. Well, anyhow, there was one day I saw him on my way to work. No, it was at lunchtime. And I walked by and I said, "Hey, Brian, God bless you. How you doing? You know, having a good day?" And he said something to the effect of, "Don't get too close," because he motioned he had, he was packing a gun. He motioned to me that, you know, don't get too close or something like that, because I, you know, I'm not feeling too good, you know. And I wasn't right next to him, but I was just like, I had been praying in the spirit, you know, and I was trying to be led of the Lord. But I just said, "You're not going to hurt yourself today." And I rebuked it. I told that spirit of suicide to leave him. And for a witness, when I saw him again, he was fine. He wasn't suicidal. He didn't seem like other demons had come in and taken up that place. Now, he did believe in God. I don't know how much of a, you know, what experience. I can't remember exactly what kind of experience he had church-wise. But I just was led to do that. I'm like, "No, you're not going to, how would I feel, you know, if I didn't do something, you know, to, so I rebuked that spirit of suicide, and I can't remember what all, but I told it to go from him. And I didn't hang around. I mean, I left, I had to go back to work, but I don't know that he was saved. I was praying for him that he'd be saved, you know, it was one of those things. was trying to be a witness to somebody on the street.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Okay, here's what I would do. First of all, when there's somebody that is struggling with oppressive spirits, how are they even going to know God if you don't set them free? And you set them free and you tell them, this is how you stay free. And you give them the gospel. You tell them the gospel. You have to set them free because they don't know. They can't experience it. And once you set them free, you could tell them the gospel. And most of them will accept it. Yeah, Ben.
What happens when you tell them the gospel? They don't adhere to what you're saying. They continue in what they're doing is wrong, thinking it's right. And then they just end up getting worse, even though you told them what they're doing is the reason why they're worse.
I didn't understand that.
So you tell them, like, if they have a drug problem.
Yeah.
You tell them this is an idol in your life, and you're thinking this is helping you, but it's really hindering you. You've told them the gospel, told them that they're set free, and then they don't believe it. But then they just get worse. And it's happened once or twice now.
Okay. I guess I think what you're saying, you've already prayed for them, and they didn't stop. The addiction did not happen. I mean, the set free from the addiction didn't happen, or what? Is that what happened?
They're not set free. They've gotten worse. He got better for a bit, and then he got worse and worse and worse.
Okay. In cases of drug addicts, things like that, people like that, prescription drugs or illegal drugs, you have to have, and I hate to say it like this because it sounds, Mark, I'm going to say my experience is this, Ben. When you pray for someone with that drug addiction spirit, you have to cast that spirit out, that drug addiction out of him. And that spirit has no other obligation but to leave. It has to leave. And you have to believe it because you're the one that's doing the casting out. And then after you cast that thing out, you know it's already been cast out because the word says it. You tell him this. You have to start confessing every day that I am free from this. I am free because the word says you, what you confess with your mouth, what you're going to get. You have to have somebody that wants to get off of it. But that's basically the way I do it, or I have done it in the past. And it's worked to those who want to get off of it. Really have. And I'm not saying that people, they don't know that they can get off of it. They don't believe that they can get off of it because they've tried before. I got a grandson that's gone to rehab. I don't know how many times, and he says he hadn't been able to kick it. I said, well, that's because you're confessing the wrong confession. Get in the Word, study the Word, and find those scriptures in there. That's what I tell him. I said, find those scriptures. He's off of it now. He's been off of it for 2 years now. Praise God. You have to minister to him. You talking about your cousin or something like that?
My brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to know they have authority. Like,
yes.
They need to know some authoritative persons.
Yeah. Tell them who they are in Christ. That's a good deal, Andrew. You have to tell them who. Here's who you are in Christ. you have the power of the universe living inside of you. That's the Holy Spirit. He lifted up Jesus from the dead off the cross.
Yeah, it's like in that verse there where God intervenes and says, be separate. Come out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. And that's God ministering to this person, because it would be God in that person. So if they don't know what they have in them, you know.
Amen.
But God is sovereign over all things too.
Yeah. Always try to give them the real good news or a chapter or something out of it in order to let them know who they are. Most people don't understand what it is to be a Christian. You got whole denominations that don't believe Jesus does miracles anymore. And they hear it on the radio, and they watch it on TV. And so you have to tell them, no, you are a new creation. You're not the old man anymore. You are a brand new creation if they come to Jesus. And now you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Tell them that. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord wants us to do. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the power that God gives you to overcome this flesh that we have. Yeah, it's a learning process for us too. When we do this stuff, go ahead. Andrew.
Another good one is 2 Corinthians 5, I think. Yeah, where it's casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And of course, the Luke one.
Quote Isaiah 53:5-6.
They have to know what a demon spirit is too, you know, because they don't realize that fornication is to make something of God's word void, you know, to say it's not really have any meaning, and they think fornication is just a definition in the dictionary, whereas it's a spirit, you know. So is a Pharisee and a scribe is a spirit too, that seems to be infecting the church, even in the Bible. And
yeah, that's good. Yeah, turn them on to Jesus. Yeah. Turn them on to Jesus and just tell him, say, anytime you feel like it, you fix mess up, give me a call. We'll pray. That's what I tell Blake all the time, man. You get to where you want to do something, call me, we'll pray about it. God will take it away from you. Something that God has put on my heart just in the last couple of weeks is the love of Jesus and how we should be showing the love of Jesus everywhere we go, by the words we say and by our actions. Ben, I met a man the other day in the laundromat. I went down there to wash my clothes. Yeah, I washed my own clothes. And I was sitting down there reading the word, waiting on my clothes to get done. I had three washing machines going. I do mine and David's, because our washing machine is messed up. Anyway, this guy came in there, sat down at my table where I was, and he said, can you get me something to eat? He's about 45, 50 years old. Looked like he'd been on the road for a while. And I said, I can't right now, but I will, you know, when we get through. And I got to asking him, I said, where are you from? What's your name first? Well, he told me his name was Willie. Can you hear me? Okay. said, "My name is Willie." I said, "Where are you from, Willie? Where'd you come from?" He said, "I come from New York." I said, "I don't blame you. You know, I would too." But anyway, we got to talking, and I started talking about Jesus, you know, and talking all about that. And when I got through, I took him down to Hardee's, and they did work serving hamburgers at the time. It was breakfast. And so I bought him a bunch of ham, biscuit sausages. I asked him, I said, "Well, where do you want me to take you?" He said, "Well, you can take me to my house." I said, "Well, where's your house?" And he put me on a wild goose chase, Willie. I went 20 miles. I went all the way back to Madisonville. And I told him, I finally stopped. I said, "Willie, I said, you're lying to me. I said, I'm going to put you out right here." And it was right in the middle of a real nice upscale neighborhood. And I said, "Where do you want me to let you out?" He said, "Right over there." So I let him out, and I went about 100 yards, and I said, "I can't leave that man out here. They'll call the police out here and put him in jail before I get out of this neighborhood." So I backed out, and I said, "Get in, Willie." I said, "What you want to lie to me for?" I said, "You ain't got no house down here." "Well, I thought it was." Anyway, I said, "I'm going to take you back to the laundromat." And I took him back down there, and I talked to him about Jesus all the way back. And I just told him, I said, "Why don't you get you a job so you can, I don't work." I said, "Well, how come you don't work?" "Well, I don't want to." I said, "Well, the Bible says man don't work, don't eat." And he said, "Okay." He just shrugged his shoulders. And anyway, I started talking to him about Jesus and all of that. And he said, "I know Jesus. I know Jesus. You know, all of them do." And I let him out, and I just prayed for him before I let him out. I said, "Let me pray for you." And I just prayed for him. And I prayed God protection on him. And I prayed that God would change his mind, change his heart. Because he wants everybody else to take care of him, you know. That's an attitude a lot of these people have. And I prayed God's protection on him because he's also a black guy. And you just don't walk anywhere, you know, looking like he did without getting picked up in a place, you know. I don't know if y'all know that, but you don't. Not down here. Anyway, he smiled real big at me and said, "Boy, I hope I see you again." I said, "Well, you probably will if you hang around here. But next time I'll have to bring him a sandwich. I ain't going to buy him nothing." But anyway, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to show the love of Christ and try to talk to them about Jesus. But you know, some you'll get, some you won't. But you know that God's working on them anyway. Well, I don't know why I told you that, but anyway, it was good. Yeah, Julie.
Well, amen. Sometimes, you know, we're supposed to sow into people water, you know, water, plant seeds, that kind of thing. And
yeah.
And hopefully, Michael, next time you see him, if he stays around that area, he's going to have a different attitude. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because we don't know, you know, how our words are going to affect somebody, but that God's working. And you know, it's what the Lord was showing me is like, you know, I can share things with people. I mean, I've tried to share with, you know, my neighbor Fred, but, you know, he's got just a negativity and an antichrist spirit. But, you know, I'm just holding on that God's going to do something here before he dies. Mm-hmm. And anyhow, it's like, you know, I just try to demonstrate the love of Christ. And like you said, Michael, it's they need to know that God loves them, because I think a lot of times wherever whatever they've heard in the past or whatever, you know, because they've probably heard a lot of religion or a lot of condemnation, a lot of Bible thumping, you know, people on accusing them of this and that. But they need, I think they need to know that it's that God loves them and cares about what's going on in their lives. And we can be a demonstration to them of that, like what you did, you know, and, you know, we do what we're supposed to do and leave the results to God, right? Because yeah. He's the one that saves yeah. people, and it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And like we were talking, and, you know, somebody who has a drug addiction, I think, or any kind of addiction, or, you know, they have to come to sometimes they have to come to rock bottom, you know, where they can only look up and realize, I don't, and it's all God's doing it and answering our prayers, you know. But they have to come to a place of getting rid of their self-will and their pride, and being sick of whatever it is they're dealing with. And I just thank you, Father, and praise you that you are working through us and that you are using us, and that people we love and care about, you know, we can't make somebody understand. That's all your gift. And we thank you, Lord, that you've heard our prayers for that. And you're working.
Well, that's it. You know, and that's what I thought after I left him. I said, well, Lord, it's up to you now. It's you to draw him in. And once you draw him in, he's going to be a mighty man of God. And that's where we leave it. All right. Anybody else? That brother-in-law of yours is coming in, Ben. He's going to come in. Yes, he's going to come in. God's working in him right now. He may not understand it, but he's already working in him. All right. That's from the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Where'd I stop?
Praise the Lord. I believe that. He's coming in. I'm excited about that one.
Amen.
Praise God. You guys live by faith, not by sight. Doesn't matter what it
Absolutely.
Looks like. Doesn't matter what he sounds like.
That's right.
God is almighty. Michael, I interrupted you, Michael, after the text there. Bold text on Matthew 12:43-45. The scriptures, that's where you end up, right in the middle of the page there.
All right. What I want to tell Ben and Andrew is, don't worry about what he looks like right now. Just keep thanking God that he's bringing him in, because he's going to come in. Because you prayed the prayer, we believe with you. And the devil ain't got no other choice but to leave that boy. And God's going to bring him in. You're going to be surprised, Ben. You're going to be surprised. Is that your sister's husband? That's your sister's husband, isn't it? Yeah, okay. That's the one. Andrew's been over there babysitting, isn't he? Amen. Thank you. Well, you know where the word, you know that word's going through that house when he's over there. Both of you, actually. He ain't got no other charge. Oh. So I quit at Matthew 12:43.
Yeah, after reading that scripture about this, you know, the demons being cast out in waterless places, that whole text there in bold.
Okay.
That's where you ended up.
I'm going to read it again. Jesus tried to warn him in Matthew 12:43, but the unclean spirit, when he has gone out of the man, passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and finds it not. Then he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, garnished. Then goeth he and taketh it with himself, seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this evil generation. Jesus said that when the demon is cast out, it passes through waterless places and returns and brings seven worse than himself. Even so shall it be unto this generation. Well, folks, there's no difference between that end time generation at the end of their covenant and this end time generation at the end of our covenant. As you know, the former rain came at the end of their covenant, and the latter rain is coming at the end of our covenant, because history just repeats. Lord, thank you so much for that latter rain. This end time generation at the end of our covenant, as you know, the former rain came at the end of their covenant, and latter rain is coming at the end of our covenant, because history just repeats. And I want to tell you that many demons, multitudes will be cast out in the days ahead from covenant people. And because they will not repent, those demons are going to return much worse. That's a sad thing, but it's a true thing. Now, some of you may still be asking, can Christians really have demons? How is it that Christians can have demons? Well, for years, people have quoted this verse to me. My spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple. If you've ever heard that verse, guess what? It's not to be found in the scriptures, folks. It's become very popular, but it's like one of those old wives' tales. There's no verse in the Bible that actually says that. But I do agree with it in a way, because where the Spirit of God dwells, it's a holy place. So the problem is, how is it that Christians can have demons and yet have the Holy Spirit? David goes on and says, he says, I tell you what the Lord told me many, many years ago that I think fits perfectly. He showed me that the tabernacle in the wilderness was not only a type of the Lord himself, but it was a type of his body, because in the midst of our very heart and spirit, God dwelt, like he dwelt in the Holy Holies in the tabernacle in the wilderness. The tabernacle was just a portable temple, just like we are. This body is a tabernacle, you see. And people say God and the devil, or God and demons. You see, and people say God and the devil, or God and the demons, can't dwell in the same temple. Well, that's not quite true. Let me point out just a few things to you. The Holy of Holies represents our spirit. Only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and if he hadn't been sanctified, he wouldn't live through that experience. As a matter of fact, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies with a rope tied around his ankle, just in case he was going in there unsanctified according to the law. That way they could just drag him out dead, which was always a possibility. So nothing evil could enter into the tabernacle, which was the place of the Ark of the Covenant, the place of the presence of God. That was where God would speak to his people from between the cherubim over the mercy seat. No one could go into the presence of God except the holy and the holy. And the high priest, of course, represented our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Shekinah glory was there in the Holy of Holies. Then the next place, just outside the Holy of Holies, was a holy place, and it represented the soul. Over them both was the tent of meeting. The covering over the tent represented this covering over the place of God's presence, and an interesting thing was that the outside of the tent was covered with ram skins that were dyed red. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And here we have ram skin, and what would a ram represent but a stubborn beast? By the way, rams were sacrificed just as we as Christians have a continual burnt offering. Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. We are to sacrifice this old beast. And so now we can see that there is a holy temple of the Lord and a temple that's not so holy. And lastly, on the outside of the holy place, not the holy of holies, but the holy place, was the outer court, and it represented our physical body. Any questions? Any answers? Well, in the Old Testament, many an unholy person entered. Did you have your hand up?
Yeah, that's okay. I was just going to say, I love that analogy and how the Lord showed him that, what our soul is, what, you know, the Holy of Holies and all that. I thought that was such a great parable. It helped me understand a lot, you know, because I'd heard that so-called verse too, that, you know, my spirit won't dwell in a house with demons or something like that.
Okay. Well, in the Old Testament, many an unholy person entered into the outer room, and many an unholy person entered even into the holy place. We have instances of wicked kings and wicked queens entering, taking hold of the horns of the altar, and asking for the mercy of God, and they didn't immediately die. And it's true about us too, folks. Things that are unholy can enter into our soul. Did you know that when we are born again and we are given a new spirit, that we have that tabernacle of the presence of God in our spirit? That's our holy of holies, and nothing unclean can enter there. No demon can enter there. What God desires to do is control your soul through your spirit. He desires to take possession of us. Your soul represents your mind, your will, and your emotions. And what God desires is through the Spirit to control all of the soul and all of our mind, will, and emotion. But at the same time, the devil or demons can enter into the outer court because there's nothing holy about the flesh. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. The flesh cannot even enter the kingdom, but the demons in the flesh also want to take control of the mind, the will, and the emotions of the Christian. There's a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit, between the carnal man and the spiritual man. Romans 8 and 13, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. We're in the midst of a situation where we're ministered to by angels and by demons, by God and the devil, by the flesh and by the Spirit. You know, everywhere we turn, there's a decision for our soul to make. And since we're in that position, let me tell you that Christians can have demons in their flesh because, once again, there's nothing really holy about the flesh. Anybody else want to read? Okay, Julie.
I can read. I just wanted to say something.
Yeah.
Where you read there, we are in the midst of a situation where we're ministered by angels and by demons, by God and the devil, by the flesh and by the spirit. Is there any wonder why sometimes there is confusion? But we have to discern what's going on, who's speaking. Well, but yeah, I can read. Yeah.
The more flesh that we get rid of, the more power of God that we'll have in us. Okay.
Can we read?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Sure. Praise God. As a matter of fact, God won't renew. God won't regenerate the flesh. He wants it to die. The mind of the flesh is the mind that's been taken over by the flesh, or the soul, and the mind that's been taken over by the flesh, by the lust of man. Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. And of course, the mind is a part of the soul. You see, the flesh is constantly seeking to have its way with the mind in order to cause you to give in to the lust. Romans 8:6. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the spirit is life and peace. The mind of the mind of the flesh cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is the enemy of God. Verse 7. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The reason that's so is because the mind of the flesh is an offspring of the devil. Think about the lusts of the flesh, the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There are demons that have the same names as those lusts of the flesh. Why is that? It's because the demons are the fathers of the lusts of the flesh, just as God is the father of the fruits of the spirit. The flesh is created in the image of the devil, folks. That's why it has to die. So that is why we might be renewed. Romans 8:7, because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So it's the enemy of God, and you do, so it's the enemy of God. And do you think that the devil can enter into the enemy of God? Of course he can. Romans 8:8. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but are in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. But if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. God's anointing by the Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome the strong desires of the lust of the flesh. I'd like for us to take a closer look at those verses in Galatians. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that ye may not do the things that you would. The word lust here just means desire. It's not imputing any evil to the spirit of God. Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And by the way, the works of the Spirit are called the fruits of the Spirit. The list here is also the fruit of the flesh, but they call it the works of the flesh. It's bad fruit, but it's fruit. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, that old man who does these things is never going to heaven. The old man, the old life, the one that's created the image of the devil with his fruit that we're reading about here, is not entering the kingdom. He is against God. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. What does that mean? Does that mean that they're perfect? No. It means that their old man is on the cross and they're just not letting him down to rule. Amen. You want me to stop there, Michael? Okay.
Couldn't get to my microphone.
Okay. We'll stop.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for working that work in us, cleaning us up and getting us ready for the things that are coming, because we can help so many people by being free of all of this. And we praise and thank you for it, Father. everybody here listening, everybody here that's with me, and those that are listening out there, be free in Jesus' name, and so you can help a lot of people around you. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just praise you, and we thank you that in the days ahead, holiness is going to surround us. We're going to be the light on the lamppost, and we praise you for it, Father, that people's going to see us and going to flock to us and want to know, where did you get that light? And you're going to be able to tell them, well, the light is not me, it's Jesus. That's the light of Jesus all over us. And I thank you for it, Father. Lord, I thank you for a wonderful 7 years ahead of us. And I'm just saying that's at least seven. I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. That the 7 years we're all going to be walking in holiness. And we're going to be able to help a lot of people, lots of people. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And placing, Lord, I ask and I pray that through your regeneration and the things that you're doing in us, even as we speak right now, that all of these things that we know, but we've, you know, sometimes they leave our mind, but that your Holy Spirit is going to bring them right back to us. And we're going to walk in that, Lord, that we're going to believe that your Holy Spirit is going to bring things to us that we ought to know about, but may have forgotten them. But Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit's going to make sure that we come out with the right thing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Lord, I thank you that everybody here got a blessing tonight with this readings. And I know I did. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. So good night, saints. Bless you. I think it's time. Anybody got anything for me? Oh.